Hello, everybody. Live here, we're good. Live on 5 or 6, that looks good. And here we go. It is Locked On Jazz, a live edition for the 13th of February. Jazz go to the break on a 4-game stretch. Jordan Clarkson does it again. We're live taking your questions, getting ready to go to the break, and trying to figure out where the Jazz are after the ups and downs of the last 9 games. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and making it hopefully way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Reminder, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Hopefully you've done more than I have so far. So make sure you're ready for that. Here's the plan for the week. I will do a show tomorrow, Pack Friday, or Points Gain Friday, and bring you that. Then no show Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And then I will bring you back as well for on Thursday. We'll get ready for the game on Friday against San Antonio and get ready for the second half of the season. A sprint to the finish. All right, let's touch on a few things from last night. That's a sweet win. And the reason that's a sweet win is because Miami's just hard to play. And I think you could see it out of the players' reactions that when you win a game like that against a team that is that difficult to play, who plays the game right, it's incredibly rewarding for them to pull that off. And as Ron Boone said on postcast last night, you know, what he was most impressed with is that they figured it out. They adapted and they figured it out, what they were doing to make the difference, to be able to adjust to Miami's multiple defensive fronts. And interestingly enough, Vince Legarza at halftime said to us, you know, we're overpassing. Miami does some interesting things. So Miami's really tough to play because what Miami does is Miami plays, they're switching defenses inside of possessions. They're switching defenses every other possession. They're doing a lot of things other teams don't do. They have some great communication. Bam Adebayo is playing in all sorts of different manners, and so you're trying to adjust to it. And it was catching the Jazz trying to react to it late in shot clocks in the first half. And when Vince Legarza joined at halftime, he made a really interesting point. He basically said, we're overpassing. We always want to pass, pass, pass. We were actually overpassing. And so there was this level of, instead of getting in the lane, stopping your dribble and passing out, like go all the way to the basket. And what we saw in the third quarter was the Jazz push all the way to the basket, get to the rim a bunch, and then in the fourth quarter, Miami starts to collapse and the Jazz shoot got their three-point looks and started to hit. That's the 10th best, 11th best defense in the NBA, and the Jazz finished the night with an offensive rating of 119, which is pretty darn strong. In fact, that's another kind of moment that makes you wonder how good this team really is. Our offensive rating since Jordan Clarkson joined the team is a 118 or 19. I think it got updated late last night and still at 118. Since Jordan Clarkson joined the team, I'm off a little bit of where I wanted to be at this point of the show, but we'll roll. Cause I actually want to talk a little bit more about some of the adjustments and things last night, but we'll get there. Since Jordan Clarkson joined the team, the Jazz offensive rating is a 118.6, so 119. They're 18-6. Their offense is number 1 in the league. Their defense is number 13 in the league, and their net rating is a 8.3. The only thing I would say on this is just to not get here. There's two areas where I think that these numbers are a little flawed in this 24-game sample size. The Bucks and the Raptors, the five best defensive teams in the league, we have not played any of them in that stretch for the season. So we haven't, you know, I think the offensive rating is probably a little high. In other words, 119 is probably not the, you know, Milwaukee's the number 1 offense. We have not played them in that stretch. Toronto's the number 2 or number 1 defense. Toronto's 2. Milwaukee's actually like 3 points better than the rest of the league. Boston's 3. Philly's 4. Lakers are five. We haven't played those teams in that stretch. Now, there's not a huge difference between Toronto and the Clippers, Orlando, Brooklyn, the Thunder, and Denver, and in Indiana, who we have played. So in Chicago, we've played in Miami and Houston and Memphis. So we've played all of those teams. The other one is, I would say, in that stretch from a differential standpoint, the four best teams in the NBA differential-wise are the Milwaukee Bucks, the LA Lakers, the Boston Celtics, and the Toronto Raptors. We haven't played those teams either. So those numbers are maybe slightly inflated because of the fact that we haven't played some of the best teams. But I would still say it's a sign of kind of, you know, yeah, sure, bring it down. Are we the second best team in the NBA? Probably not. I don't think I really thought that anyway. Are we the best offense in the NBA? We might be close when you consider that in that stretch of games we're talking about here, the Jazz offensive rating is a 118.6, Dallas is a 117.1, and the Lakers are the next best at as a 115.7. That leads me to think that maybe we could be the best offense in the league. At that point, at least a possibility of it would be kind of a thought for you, or at least we'd be one of the top three. So, yeah, sure, we still got ways to go. Last night's win just is a game, frankly, you know, 2 weeks ago we lose when we were in the doldrums. Rudy Gobert talked about it afterwards on the postgame show, and great pickup by Tim Lacombe and Jake Scott on the postgame show talking about how, you know, Rudy said our chemistry's better. So alluding to some, you know, some development inside the locker room as something that was equally as important as any X's and O's for the Jazz in this stretch that helped them make this next step as a team. So interesting to hear Rudy say that. The other one I thought on last night was interesting to me, and this has happened a few times, and this is kind of up my alley of numbers, is three-point shooting. So the Jazz shoot 39% from three, number one in the NBA. The Miami Heat are actually the number one team in the league, you know, denying the three-point shot, which is actually not at a dramatically different number. It's at about, you know, I think they're about 35%. And the Jazz were, through three quarters, at about 27, 28%. And the feeling I have on the Jazz whenever this is going on is just keep getting enough of them up. If you widen out the sample size enough, you'll get to your average. And that's exactly what they did last night. By the end of the night, they'd taken 30-plus three-point shots. They got right to 39%. So even the Miami, you know, they hit 7 of 11. They didn't need to. They hit 6 of 11. They would have been fine. They won by 15. But to me, that's a fairly interesting kind of thing that's going on with this team, which is if we can just get enough shots every night, get our threes up, get our 35 threes up, we'll get to our 40%. Last night, by the end of the night, we were 14 of 36. Donovan was 4 of 8. Jordan Clarkson was 4 of 6, but Joe was 0 of 5. We just have so many good and the other thing is, because of the fact that we have Boyan 40% three-point shooter, Royce 40%, Joe 40%, Donovan 40% catch and shoot, a little lower off the bounce, Jordan 40% catch and shoot, a little lower off the bounce, George 40%. Those are our three-point shooters. Some teams have a wider variance because if you deny one person a shot, then that will make their numbers skew. But in our case, when you look at it, we're going to hit that number if we get enough threes. I mean, they have the Mountain America Credit Union three-point shot stat on our TV broadcast every night. And now, I off the top of my head, I can't remember it, but it's, you know, we've had 10 or more threes, and I think a league leading like 24 straight games or something like that. I'm off by one or two, so rely on the next time you watch AT&T Sportsnet, get that stat right, or have me look it up while I'm talking right here. But the Jazz have the longest active streak and one of the longer streaks of having, 10 straight, or get games with at least 10 straight threes. That's kind of to my point, is if we just keep getting enough of those shots up, then we'll hit those numbers, and then we are this number one offensive team. Then we are really as good as we're talking about. Credit to Scott Rogers, graphics guy in the Jazz TV group. Let me see if the Jazz have had now 26 straight games of 10 or more three-pointers. That's the longest streak in the league. Atlanta is at 16 if they hit it last, or 17 if they hit it last night, 16 going into last night. Atlanta got crushed last night, but that doesn't usually stop their offense from getting things done. So I thought last night was interesting just in that sense, that it's another night where if we just can keep playing through the game, we get to the kind of points we need to get to. All right, we're going to open it up. We're live on Facebook at Locked On Sports and Locked On Live. We're live on Twitch. We're live on YouTube at Locked On Live. We're live on Periscope at Locked On Sports. And I want to take your questions and get everything going for you in that. Today's show is brought to you by SpaVia. If you have not taken care of who you need to take care of, SpaVia is here for you. 104th South State Street. When I sat down and met with Donette and the crew there, you know, what they talked to me about was, we're going to give you the resort spa experience by at half the price. You're going to come in, you're going to get the relaxation. We've got a waiting room for you. You're going to leave everything behind. You're going to have an hour or whatever you choose to have your own time. And you're going to be able to feel as though you've taken the trek up all the way up to the Montage or the St. Regis or one of these fancy dancy hotels in Park City or one of those places and get that experience, but you're going to get it at half the price with all the same things. The esthetician lineup is robust and terrific. And if you're looking for a Valentine's Day gift, we've got a special deal for you. Buy two gift cards, get the third one for free over at SpaVia, 104th South State Street. They also have the sports massage, deep tissue massage, relaxation, couples massage if you're thinking about doing that. So go over to SpaVia, give them a call. Or stop by at 104th South State Street and make sure that you take care of the people you're supposed to. There's no need. It's such an easy thing to do Valentine's Day right. There's absolutely no reason to screw up Valentine's Day, so please don't do that. That would make me sad when we have SpaVia lined up for you. And check out, get that great experience for half the price or even less, actually, when you consider what SpaVia is doing for you with the gift cards. 801-424-7566. That's 801-424-7566. 801-424-7566. All right, let's go to some questions. From Instagram, what is the Jazz biggest weakness? Realistically, what is our strength to make a strong push in the playoffs? I mean, our biggest strength is our shooting, okay? So we're just a very, very good offensive basketball team, perfectly constructed by the front office, masterfully managed by Quinn Snyder. You've got the elite rim roller. You've got multiple ball handlers in Conley, Ingles, and Donovan. And Bojan is a pick and roll player. So you've got multiple ball handlers, and then you've got absolutely terrific, terrific shooting. So that's our biggest strength, and that carries every night. That's kind of my point of this, and we have multiple shoes. The weakness is we are not particularly athletic, which is kind of you either trade shooting or athleticism, or if a player can both shoot and be an athlete, they're an all-star. And so we're seeing teams spread us out, pull Rudy out of the basket, drive us one-on-one. We saw Miami try it last night, and luckily we answered it. They didn't actually have a good answer for it, which was a big step for us. Beating Houston, doing the same thing, was another big step for us. But we don't have, if you think about our two best defensive players, they're Royce O'Neal and Joe Ingles, in the sense that neither of them was drafted. That has a little bit of a statement on their athleticism. Our entire defense is predicated on driving people to Rudy and having Rudy have an impact. So if somebody can take Rudy and get him out of the middle in some way and have Rudy not have that impact, then that is a pretty considerable weakness for us. And so that's, I think, the concern of whether or not that. The other thing is that we just don't talk about enough probably is how young we are, right? So when we go to the playoffs, LeBron in his 15th year, Anthony Davis in his 10th, those I'm making these up a little bit, Kawhi in his 10th, Paul George in probably his 9th, James Harden, I think, in his 11th, Russell Westbrook in like his 10th, Denver is a little young, frankly. I'd say that's a concern for them. They've got 1 year playoff experience. Jokic is great, but that would be a concern if I'm them. And so I think when you look at us, Donovan's still in just his third year. I mean, I was talking to Donovan a little bit the other day about how he's still going through everything for the first time. And, it's hard. Like, I think he went through being an all-star right now for the first time and took a deep breath and relaxed and wasn't very good and then felt the pressure of trying to match to be an all-star. He even said last night, I just wasn't myself. I wasn't having fun. At all. And he kind of got back to that last night. So I think, and you know what? He was, before the game, if you watched our On the Floor show that Ron and I do an hour before the game last night, an hour before every game, we go live on these channels for you before the game. You could actually see Donovan. He had his headphones on. He was bouncing a little differently. He had a little bit of a different juice to him than he's had the last few days around the team. He was exhausted. So I think that's a real weakness we have that hasn't been addressed. Is, you know, we've won a playoff series with this group. We haven't had a lot of playoff runs. It usually takes a lot. If you go back and look where Stockton and Malone were and how long it took them to get going, I think that's part of it. A bunch of people asking about my Joe Ingles shirt that I have on today. Yes, this is the Headband Joe shirt. You can go to breakingtee.com/lockedon, and they have it available for you there. That's breakingtee.com/lockedon. Is 56 wins still the magic number for the number two seed? Is that what I said yesterday? I think it's 57 or 58. We looked at it yesterday on the show. I'm not very good at keeping my show notes from one day to the next. And I did not just get lucky, I don't think. Nope. So we looked at it yesterday at 538 in Basketball Reference and all of those channels. I think it's going to be very hard to move up. I just don't think Denver and the Clippers are going to lose enough. It'd be nice if Boston beat the Clippers tonight. This is really hard to say. Let me see if I can do this. This is hard. I'm struggling. Nice of the Lakers to win last night. Oh, that hurt me deep inside. But we needed the Lakers to win last night over the Denver Nuggets. So that actually worked out pretty well for us. I'd like to get us to two or three. One, get out of the Lakers bracket. They're great. Gives you a chance to have home court advantage if you can get to two in the second round matchup. The Clippers are pretty great too. If there's some sneaky way to get Denver in the second round instead of the Lakers, that would be fabulous. I would probably rather not play Houston again in the playoffs. Though Dallas, with the greatest offense we've ever seen, is probably not going to be the easiest matchup. Nor would Oklahoma City be with Chris Paul, but... I would say that I feel as though I would like to get to two or three. I think it would make a big difference. The key to that is frankly going to be the opening five games. San Antonio right out of the chute, win the season series from Houston, Phoenix, Boston, Washington, then go to Cleveland and New York where you've got to get the wins. Go to Boston, probably a tough one, but on the back end of a back-to-back, go grab Detroit. First game home from a road trip with not much rest against Toronto is not easy. Back out to Oklahoma City. We'll be sleepy by then. And then home against New Orleans and Memphis back-to-back. That's a brutal stretch on that second part of that when we come back from that road trip. Pop, pop, pop. Before we then have the Lakers back-to-back. So, and then the close of the season's got an interesting little home stretch where we have Atlanta, Chicago, and Cleveland we should clean up on. But then, boy, that finish is at Portland, at Denver, Clippers at home, at Phoenix, at OKC, and then Denver on the final night of the year. On TNT, we play the final game of the year. Alex says hi on Periscope. Jason waves hi on Facebook. Josh on YouTube says hi. Nihilist Adventure on YouTube says, how do we keep Jordan Clarkson? I believe his contract is up after this year. It's a good question. We certainly want it right now. He's been great. He's making himself a lot of money right now. There's only going to be two teams in the league that have real cap money. And is Jordan Clarkson one of the two free agents that they're willing to sign, and they're young teams. So I actually don't think Jordan Clarkson's going to end up with a very large market in the offseason just because of the way the market's set. He'll certainly get the mid-level exception from someone, or be someone might be willing to do something more in a sign-and-trade. He does fit who we are well. What Mike does with his player option, Mike Conley, will probably have some impact on that a little bit, but obviously what Jordan is doing and how he's playing and the freedom he has and the gravity the shooters have around him that's getting him into the paint every time is pretty special. He's really amazing right now. His willingness to pass is better this week than it was last week, and I think that's made a difference on things. So when you look at what you look at when you have there, I think you see great growth. And I actually don't think he's going to have a robust market. And so it's going to be a little bit, I think, of the Jazz finding a way to, finding a way that, you know, you find something that's the right deal for you, in which he's comfortable, it doesn't hurt your situation too much, it's good for both sides, and it works. And I think we're going to see that is the way that deal gets done. But I would suspect Jordan comes back. I don't know for how many years and what the Jazz situation is. So, I mean, there's some things you could hang it up too, right? You also have Donovan and Mike Conley. You're going to be paying a lot of money. And so, you know, but I think Jordan is the sixth man on this team, is a pretty fabulous mix. Intercap lending has been blowing up from reviews like this. Tom Ferguson heard about Intercap on a podcast. That'd be Locked On Jazz, Tom. Make sure you mention it. So I gave them a try, went to refinance. Our situation was a little more complicated because we were a small business owner. Steve Carter was amazing to work with. Always super polite, extra communicative, and let us know exactly what was going on. We would certainly recommend them. Intercap was amazing, says John JR. Steve Carter was our loan off agent that helped us purchase our home, and he far exceeded our expectations. Our realtor was a disaster. Steve stepped up and helped facilitate negotiations to help us close on our new home. They were able to beat any competitors' rates and just did an amazing job during the process. Ben Crosby, Steve, and the team at Intercap were excellent. Feedback was timely and the process was smooth. The rate was much better than the others I've shopped. This is what fires me up about Intercap Lending. They have been with us since they came and had 5 branches. They keep growing. They're now stretching out into other states. Another Locked On success story that has probably nothing to do with Locked On, that they probably would have done all their own. But really what I love is that Locked On people are getting great experiences from our sponsors, and Steve Carter is a major part of it. If you're looking to do a loan or a refi or something like that, or want to have someone look at it, Steve Carter is through the moon awesome. So make sure you check it out. 385-800-8528. Steve did our refi. He was amazing. At the time, I thought he was doing all the extra stuff because, frankly, they wanted us as a client. I found out since that's not true. That's just what he does for everyone. That's what he did for Tom. It's what he did for Jay. It's what he did for Dan. 385-800-8528. 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending. NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Live show today. We'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll look at points gained and look toward kind of the second half of the season and some of those items. We will also, then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I will be off going on a little trip. And so we'll be back with you. All right, from Facebook, good morning, Locke. I thought our defense looked really connected last night, especially our help on the boards. What is your thought about us still being an average defense? Well, one night never changes my thoughts. You guys know that about me, my sample. I always need a sample size that's a little bit more than that. I did think that, you know, we killed them on the second chance points last night. Just absolutely crushed them in second chance points. That was a huge part of last night's game. Probably has not been talked about enough. And I do believe in offensive rebounding. By definition, the way we've played has shown, you know, we're really, Quinn talked about it last night on the podium, we play with a precision and a moving the basketball and doing a bunch of different things like that. And we end up, you know, in turn, we've end up turning the ball over. And so you can't turn the ball over and not offensive rebound. You can't be bottom 10 in both. Like you've got, so Tony Bradley's value in the offensive rebounding has really been massively important to who we are. And last night, we just converted a ton of them into second chance points. Our offensive rebounding rate last night was 24. The night before was 31. The night before was 26. The night before was 28. Those are great. And the league average is about 22%. So if we're above that, it's really good. Our defensive rebounding has been great as well. So I think that's super important. Last night was our 17th best offensive game of the year. And our 17th best defensive game of the year. That was our best defensive game we have played since the Warriors on January 22nd and the Pacers on January 20th. And we had back-to-back good defensive games. Charlotte on January 20th. And then Chicago all the way back to first. All of our other best defensive games were early in the year. So that was one of the, if that felt like a better defensive game than you've seen since January 22nd against the hapless Warrior team, that is accurate. Our defensive effort against Indiana, when we blew them out by 30, was pretty outstanding. Held them to an 87.1 on a brutal back-to-back, you might recall. And then our defensive effort against Charlotte, who's a terrible offensive team, was really good. So that is, in fact, one of our better offensive games in a while. Since I have it in front of me, Here's our three-point shooting in the most recent games. Against Houston, we had a weird game, right? We shot 29%. We lost by 9. But if you take us back for a while here, and I mean, let's go back to like December. This is going to, you know, be monotonous, but 39, 37, 40, 49, 37, 43. These are the percentages we shot from three. 33 is our bad night. 36, 38, 33, 39, 42, 35. We had a bad night against Houston. We shot 29% on threes. 37, 46, 44, 36, 33, 40, 43, 39. The issue for us is we just got to get them up. We got to get up close to 43s a night because our numbers will get us between, you heard it, like there's a few anomalies. We drop under 33% once. That's a point of shot. We are up over 40 more often than not. Like we're right into that line of where we need to be. So if we can just keep getting those shots up, you know, that's what we need to be able to do. Grab some more questions. From Kyler on Periscope. I was wondering why the Jazz were struggling the first half with their offense. Heat switched everything. Yeah, I mean, the Heat are just a unique team to play. And if you actually look at the Heat quarter by quarter, they actually get less good as the game goes on because teams adjust to them. And the Jazz did a fabulous job of that. Hunter says, we have two All-Stars. You're absolutely right, Hunter. Enjoy All-Star weekend. Are the Jazz legally able to extend Clarkson's contract? I do think they are. Legally, I'd have to check into it. I don't know all the rules on acquiring a player and extending. I think they have until July 1st to be able to extend him if they want to. in your opinion, the Clarkson trade, the biggest in-season trade the Jazz have done since Jeff Hornacek. Yeah, it feels like it, doesn't it? That's from David Nelson on Facebook. It does feel like it. What did we do? I mean, I think actually getting rid of Joe Johnson when he was a huge plus-minus negative was pretty important. Jay Crowder was a nice acquisition for Rodney Hood when Rodney was kind of disengaged. I'm going to go with that. I mean, I think, yeah, maybe. And maybe a very similar kind of situation to us, too. How many shots did Russell Westbrook make against Gobert and how many when Gobert was on the floor? You know what? He did fine, Matthew. His numbers look great because he got to the rim and Westbrook's one of the few guys who doesn't have a problem scoring at the rim against Gobert. I think the one that he was 2 of 10 on mid-range shots, so those are all good. Russell had a great game, but Harden also didn't go to the free throw line, and Harden didn't take as many shots. So I think that's, you know, you're not going to be able to deny Westbrook from shooting. You're not going to be able to deny Harden from shooting, but if you have your choice, you would certainly want one of them, and that's Westbrook to take the shots. To Bluebird at YouTube, a geeky numbers question. What is the variance of the three-point shot? It depends on your sample size, is really the answer. But frankly, defensively, there's not a lot of variance if you look over the years of the best defensive three-point shooting to the other. So that's why I always really believe in shot distribution. We're the number one shot distribution team. I know it's not Jazz related, but what's the timetable on Locked On Dolphins? Congratulations to Travis, our Locked On Dolphins host and the Locked On Podcast Network, who got a huge new job, and we're really excited for him. We hope to have that show filled next week after. Matt Moon, can you introduce me? Oh, I don't know if that was Matt Moon. Probably was. It was Matt Moon. Can you introduce me to All-Star Stub Joe Ingles? From Bob Hyde, I've never heard what was going on with Conley last night. He had the flu and was not available last night. Is there a way to get Moutier minutes when Conley plays, considering he brings a different pace? 10-man rotations are really hard to play. 9-man rotations are what most people in the league do. Most people do not want to go to 10-man rotations, so I think that would be difficult. I'm really impressed with Emmanuel both the last two nights. I thought he's been just terrific. Do the Jazz use Tony Bradley more or less in the second half of the season? I don't think we're going to be in a position where we're cutting people's minutes to rest them for the playoffs because I think every win is going to matter too much. I think teams are going to be tired when they hit the playoffs, which will be an interesting case. The Clippers will probably not be tired. They've got another gear. Denver and Utah, I don't think they have another gear for the playoffs. Lakers are just great. I think Houston will be tired because of the way they're playing. And Dallas has been oft injured, so I think they'll probably... Dallas might be the one in Oklahoma City who are not trying to get home court, might be able to actually coast a little bit toward the end and get ready. That's an interesting concept I hadn't thought about. So we'll see. Locke is rude, condescending, know-it-all, jumps to conclusions over fans' comments, and is a nasty word. P.S. Nobody cares about your birthday or other nonsense you think is interesting about your life. Colorado Jazz fan, happy Thursday to you. I hope you have a wonderful day. I was surprised to hear that a lot of shoot-around was focused on Duncan Robinson. He and Bogdanovich seem similar. Should Bogey shoot more threes? Would that take away from some of his drives? I think it would take away from some of his drives. I'm not sure Bogey has the shiftiness that Duncan Robinson has on the outside to go get those threes off. Robinson really comes off those picks and then has this kind of backup dribble and reverse side coming back off the pick the other way. I mean, they do some really interesting things with Duncan Robinson to get him threes. It's amazing to have a guy be able to get 14 threes off in a night. And he's doing it with regularity. And it's game-changing. It's absolutely game-changing to have that. Their plus-minus numbers are incredible when he's on the floor. I do think Bogey should take more threes. I mean, I would like us to just take more threes. I'd like us to be in the top with our, you know, we've got to be semi-good looks, maybe not, because we're just that great a three-point shooting team that I would certainly love it if we took, more three-point shots. That would fire me up. Kind of look what Dallas is doing. Dallas is a great three-point shooting team, not as good as us, but they're pretty close, and they're taking the fourth most or second, you know, somewhere in the top five amount of threes in the league, and they're changing the game offensively and having the greatest offense ever. Couple that with our ability to get on top of the rim, I actually think we could do it if we could just kind of fix our offensive shot distribution time. But now, you know, me saying that and having it get done and what it means and how, you know, the coaches are trying, it's not like our guys don't want to do that. And is it actually possible? There's a level where you're shooting so good, nobody ever wants to leave your shooting. So I think there are some areas where, and some of our guys aren't very big, so when they're trying to make passes back out, it doesn't work very well. So there's some reasons why maybe what I'm asking for is not possible. I'm just asking for it, right? Like, you know, I could ask Santa Claus for things, and but then Colorado Jazz fan wouldn't care, so I don't want to share about that. How do we get, how did Bogdanovich into three contests with Lillard? I don't think we do, and here's a funny thing. A lot of these guys like their time off. Like, if you heard Joe Ingles with Zach Lowe having some fun, like, there's a part of Joe that he'd like that national stage, and there's a part of Joe where I think he'd be perfectly willing to be able to go rest and relax with Renee and the kids and just enjoy himself. All right, that is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much. We'll be back with you tomorrow. If you have any points gain questions, please send them to me at Locked On Sports on Twitter. Would probably be the best place. Spa Via, available for you to take care of your Valentine's Day. Thanks very much for tuning in. Have a wonderful day. It is Locked On Jazz. Thursday, I did Locked On NBA with Ben Golliver. We talked about the Jazz some and the Western Conference. So right now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA.